Podcast Land. I am here today with Avengers & Co. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It's really, really great. And we're going to start the way we do with everybody. Would you tell us your fandom origin story?
So I had to think about it because I don't really have a specific story that I can think of. I really just always have been into superheroes as long as I can remember. I watched X-Men Evolution as a kid and Static Shock and those things. And then I got really into the MCU when it came out. As far as getting into Stony, I don't think I actually got into Stony first. I think I got into Super Family first, which is obviously Steve and Tony with like Peter as their kid. And then from there, I was like, oh, Stony's a great one too. And that's how I got into the fandom.
That's great. Do you read things besides Stony now then? Are you kind of, do you nip around?
Mostly I stick with Stony, but I kind of tend to prefer specific tropes sometimes more than I care about the who the main ship is.
Oh, that makes sense. So like what tropes are you into right now?
So like I always love family style stuff. So sometimes I don't care if it's specifically Stony that's Endgame if it's Jen, I like that too. BDSM fix I always really like. So that I tend to end up reading a lot of like Stucky because they just have a lot of it. Things like that.
Cool. Yeah, I think when we talk about different tropes and different characters, Stucky really, really loves angst a little bit more than Stony does. And so sometimes
they
lend themselves to those things. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's just, I feel like a little, not, I don't want to say there's more in Stucky, but there kind of is. So sometimes I can just go over there and be like, let me read through some of what they got because Stony's kind of lacking in something that I want or something like that.
That's fair. I feel that way sometimes about Winter Iron because I'll be looking for something in Stony and they haven't done it, but it's in Winter Iron and I'll lose myself in Winter Iron for 3 weeks. So I feel that.
Uh-huh.
So when you and I were talking offline, one of the things that you mentioned is that part of your life is that you are neurodivergent.
Mm-hmm.
And I am really curious as to how that affects and interacts with your fandom life.
So it wasn't, what I've noticed for sure is, so one of the things I have is like depression, and I noticed when I'm struggling more, I tend to fall back into fandom. I noticed it a lot because like my freshman year of college, I was doing really well mentally, and I was barely involved at all. And so it definitely kind of, and I don't think it's I think it's kind of almost like a coping skill. It's when I'm really struggling, it's what I go to instead of like drinking sometimes, or instead of if I can't find friends to go out with, it's kind of my way of going back and just feeling kind of comfortable and having something to do that makes me feel safe and things like that.
That makes sense. Is it fic? Is it like hopping on Discord with people? Is it both?
It's definitely fic and Tumblr. I'm pretty bad on Discord. The group chats just like stress me out. But definitely kind of having people who I talk to a little bit and seeing a lot of the fan art and fanfic and taking in the creative stuff that people do, I feel like really helps me.
That makes sense. And I think there's a lot of people who identify with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So is there a particular, I guess, like, you know, you mentioned that you love family tropes. Is that something you would read a lot of in this particular season of your life?
Probably. I don't think I can. I definitely will go back to a lot of fics that I like.
Okay.
I'm sometimes a little less, I'm sometimes a little less willing to read things I don't know. So I'll try and, I have a couple of like go-to fics that I've read like 5 or 6 times easily, which is a lot for someone like me who, once I read something once, I'm usually done with it, no matter how much I like it. But I definitely find myself going back to the same fics and the same people.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's a very self-soothing mechanism to mm-hmm. be able to know, because one of the things that is difficult, when I can speak for myself and you can tell me if you agree or disagree, but when I'm in a really bad mental place, the last thing I want is surprises.
Yeah, exactly. It's just kind of the comfort of knowing what's going to happen and knowing you're going to be happy with it. And to some extent, so sometimes that works well, at least even if I'm not going to like the same exact fic, it's an author who I know and I like.
Yeah.
Or it's kind of this very specific trope that I'm not willing to do a lot of exploring. So sometimes it's like, okay, I have this very specific thing that I need that I know always cheers me up. So it's definitely a lot of the familiarity is important.
That makes sense. And so my next kind of set of questions is around, I guess, like representation of your particular divergence. Do you feel that fic does it well? Do you wish there was things that we would do better about it? Anything you'd like us to know?
When I notice the most for the neurodivergency in fic, it's most often depression and anxiety, which I might say this incorrectly and I don't mean it in the wrong way, but it's kind of, those are the ones that the most people identify with. And so it almost kind of feels like the easiest ones to go to. I'm also like ADHD, and that I hear people kind of discuss it in like Discord type stuff or in like Tumblr posts, but I rarely ever see it in fic. So it's kind of, there is some neurodiversity, but it's very specific ones, if that makes sense.
That's interesting. Is it something that, like, from your perspective, it would be easy to put in ADHD to some of these characters, or?
I think it's just something that, like, people don't specify as much, but it's also, you don't, because, like, for me, ADHD is such a part of, like, my identity in a way that, like, as much as I have depression and anxiety, it feels like a different part of me. So I think there's a bit of a kind of differentiation between the two, where you kind of grew up with ADHD and you almost feel like it's part of your personality, at least for me, versus depression and anxiety. I feel like it's something that's just different from me and I can work to get better on. So I think people see, maybe it's similarly, maybe it's not, but with anxiety and depression, people kind of see it as something that, like, this is a struggle I'm having and maybe this fic can help me work through it.
That's interesting. Yeah. I also have really high anxiety mm-hmm. and I see it as something that is almost like a backpack that I wear. And there mm-hmm. are times that there's nothing in the backpack and it's like there. And then there's other times where it feels like I can't move because it's bending me backwards.
Yeah. I think that's a really good way of putting it. Because it's just, there's a different part of it. But then when it comes to like ADHD for me, I'm just kind of like, I don't think it's something to work with. I think it's just I don't think it's something I have to work through sometimes or try and kind of have back part. It's just, it's part of who I am. I almost got into it a little bit once with someone at my work when I said, oh, I am ADHD. And they're like, no, you have it. And I'm like, well, I understand that some people really need that differentiation. But for me, I actually prefer to say I am ADHD. For me, because that's how I feel and identify, because for me, I don't see ADHD as a disability that mm-hmm. some people do. I just see it as like, that's kind of part of who, like, I did have to do something different. Not, yeah. It's just not going to be the same way as everyone else.
Yeah. It's just like your brain is woven in that yeah. way. And so how could you mm-hmm. separate the weaving of your brain?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think that's a really good way of putting it.
Yeah. So if somebody wanted to write, let's say, I think of all the characters I think about, somebody who would have ADHD would probably be Peter or Tony.
Yeah. I think Peter or Tony's the one who people most often kind of identify it as.
So from your perspective, like, what are two or three things we should make sure that we think about if we want to give him an authentic ADHD experience?
I think it's definitely more than just the bouncing around and hyperactivity. People focus on that a lot. And that's not even just in fandom, that's just in general. Whereas for me, it's, yeah, I'm hyperactive, but like, I will like jump from topic to topic and I won't even realize how much I'm jumping until someone points it out to me. There's a lot less awareness, but you just kind of flow a little bit differently, but it also just is preferential. Like, I will get to the point, but if you try to keep me too focused, I'll lose the point.
Okay, so almost like we would, somebody in a conversation with you could hold like a gentle boundary around things, but not like a laser focused one.
Yeah, exactly. So where sometimes it's like you have to let someone go on a little bit of a tangent, but you also have, but there is sometimes where there is the boundary of like, okay, too far off topic, let's at least try and get back to the same point. Or it's like saying, so I work, I think I mentioned this, that I work with people with mental illness. And so ADHD isn't usually one of them, but there's a lot of times when it's like, you have to keep like going off on tangents is really common. So it's setting the boundary of like, hey, look, this is how much time I have left. And then after that, I have to go. So like, you can do with what you want in that amount of time. This is what I'd like to do. But like, I just have to set the time limit kind of thing.
Interesting. Okay. So I think that's good. Like as we're thinking about, you know, Tony's physical bounciness and even his mental bounciness, we can also think about, you know, if we're writing a Sony fic, Steve kind of helping with some time limits or like, you know, absolutely following him down the rabbit trails, but every once in a while, maybe looking at Tony and being like, I've lost you now. So can we come back, you know, that kind of thing in a more gentle way than an agenda driven way.
Yeah. And I think it's just kind of a weird way that people like boundaries. And I, you said that and it just made me think of something at work because I set boundaries with the client and my client was not happy about it. So I think that's another thing is that like, I feel like when I read fix, you definitely get a lot of the like support as someone helping with someone with mental illness, but there's not always a lot of backlash, which I feel like is very unrealistic, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
So like, kind of talking about the client is, I was setting boundaries with her and she was livid with me. And these were all like, I'm not allowed to do the things she was asking me to do. And she was super upset with me. But then like in fic, you would read it, if someone set a boundary, someone just accepts it. They're like, oh yeah, that makes sense. And it's like, no, sometimes you get a boundary and you're not happy about it. And I feel like you always kind of see the people are better about hitting the ugly side, but in a weird way where it's still kind of a idealized version of it where everything is working out perfectly. So like if someone, it's like, yeah, people are really struggling with this, but there aren't a lot of setbacks again, or there's not a lot of back and forth with like my clients and with everyone, I feel like, but it's just kind of more noticeable in more severe cases is where I'm like, oh, we're making really good progress. And then like 2 weeks later, it's like, oh no, we made no progress when I thought we made all the progress.
Yeah.
Versus in fic, I feel like it's always like every time it's progress and setbacks are like, oh, this one off day. It's like, no. It is like full on. There was no progress made and you thought there was progress.
Yeah. It's hard. I write a lot about trauma. And I work with that a little bit in my offline life. And one of the ways I talk about trauma is that it's a like a conical mountain next to a beach where you're walking in a path. And, you know, when you're on the front of the mountain, you can still smell the trauma and see it and it's terrible. And then you get around to the back of the mountain and you're like, oh my God, I'm free. It's amazing. But like, then you got to go back around to the front of the mountain. Like,
yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's there again and it's living and it's breathing and it smells just as bad as it did on the last time you were there. And
that's a really good way of putting it. I'm going to use that. That's a really good way of putting it.
Oh, thanks. I used it in my PhD, so I will I'll link the fic where I describe it in the show notes. So.
Oh yes, please. I would love to use that with my clients.
So when we're thinking about fic, one of the issues is that we do have a tendency as writers to tie it all up in this really neat little bow. And it would be probably, well, A, more fun as writers, but definitely more realistic as readers if we would play with that a little bit.
Yeah, I think, and I feel like it's things like people always notice when things are starting to go bad, when in reality, it's like, I've had friends who are like, I was like completely depressed and I was awful and all these things. And I was like, I had no idea. And I'd spend almost every day with you. And it's not that we don't, and we kind of have a tendency to be like, well, if you care, to think that if you cared, you'd notice, when in reality, it's like, no, sometimes you just don't know a baseline, or you're way better at hiding things than you think they are. And in fic, we have these really idealized versions where we want people to notice the little things that changed, when it's like, that's not always realistic. Or sometimes you don't know you think you know someone better and you don't know like their baseline and what certain things look like for certain people.
Yeah, and baseline being, for anyone who doesn't know, because that's a term
that
is very common in this world that Avengers and I and Co. are talking about, is kind of the understood realm of normal, quote unquote. There is no normal, but this is this person's kind of typical behavior, typical emotional range, typical reaction rates, things like that. It's what feels within acceptable normality for a particular person. So like my baseline is very different than my husband's baseline, but you know, because everyone's baseline is different. And a big part of relationships, whether you realize it or not, is getting to know your friend's baseline. You just learn it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of part of, you know, when you can say a friend feels really off, it's because their baseline has changed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we don't talk about that enough. And if we do, especially with Steve and Tony, it's always Tony's gotten weird and Steve's perfect at observing it and like knows exactly how to handle it and exactly how to fix it.
I know that is, and that is so off base, because I'm like, I know.
Yeah, but it's so much fun to fantasize and think that we can live in a world where that can all work. So speaking of fantasy, what are you reading right now?
What am I reading right now? I think I'm going back and just rereading fics, but the most recent fic that I just like read, I didn't binge read it because I had to read it as it was coming out, but Peter Stars by Iron Pengu and Park R. Stark is the one I just read and I absolutely adored. And then my all-time favorite fic is Not About Superheroes, and then in parentheses, A Private Little War. Definitely, whenever someone asks, like, what fic do you recommend, that's always my number one fic that I recommend, because I think it's the best thing in the entire world.
Well, that sounds like a hearty endorsement. I have not read either of these, so I'm excited to go and find them. And listeners will find the links in the show notes. Avengers & Co., thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.